Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a movement. It's a revolution. And I'm excited to be a small part of it.
Rich Campbell.
I'll get up with you. Have some coffee.
Chicago Tribune Bears beat writer.
Everything that happened, every last word is in my notes.
Bringing you the latest from Hallis Hall.
The season is so much longer. It's so much harder to get to the final game and win the final game. But we're hoping for a lot of those hub-dub.
Asking hard-hitting questions.
What impressed you about Leonard Sack?
Rich Campbell with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
It is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I'm Connor. Dan is out. Mark Grody is in. This hour is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto. We got to talk a little Bears because in 2 weeks, vets report to camp along with... And now Mark Grody will be a veteran of the Bears beat. He's got one season under the belt. And another season elsewhere, just kind of washed over all over him.
Ah, yes. Looking forward to the dorm room.
It is our opportunity now to talk with Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune. He is also on the Bears beat. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Rich, about this time last year, I was just kind of walking around the neighborhood. I ran into you, a free Rich Campbell, no cares, no concerns in the world, just taking a stroll around the neighborhood, and you were days away from reporting to camp. I imagine you are as free as ever walking around right now with camp right around the corner.
That's right. That's right. You know, your mind starts to go there, so you kind of lose those last couple weeks of the off season. But, you know, there's such a different feel to what's going on with this team right now than in any year we can remember. You probably have to go back to 2011, you know, the last time they were coming off a playoff appearance and some success. And so now, you know, as you think forward, it's all about expectations and the pressure and sort of the way they've set themselves up for the spotlight and trying to really make a run at a championship while the quarterback is on his rookie deal. And it's just, it just feels so much better than in past years where you're just wondering how they can get through. You're wondering if they can find any players. Now you're wondering if they can put it all together, and that's a lot more fun.
And you wonder if they can do it again, especially, when I say do it again, I mean on the defensive side of the ball. I like the hiring of Chuck Pagano. I think he brings immediate credibility to the defense, and it seems like he gets it, as in he's not going to change things ridiculously. But I have identified three Chicago Bears players, Rich, on the defense that I think mostly benefited from Vic Fangio. I mean, I'm sure all of them did, but those three guys, Bilal Nichols last year, who had three sacks and five tackles for loss, and it seemed like Vic Fangio found ways to put him in the exact right position to succeed. Roquan Smith with his five sacks last year, most of them on blitzes. Again, Fangio putting him in the right place to succeed. And then Kyle Fuller, like, changing his career around, going from a guy who it didn't look like he was going to last with the Bears to becoming a first-team all-pro type of player. I guess the question is, are we underestimating the value of what Vic Fangio did with his defense, even though the talent is obvious with the players?
Yeah, I think that there is a risk of that, certainly. And what every fan should understand and recognize, I mean, put your arms around this, is it was not plan A for them to lose Vic Fangio and have someone else coordinate their defense. Right. You know, that is not what the Bears wanted to have happen. It's a product of their success. It's a product of Vic's success personally, and I think he deserved that head of coaching job. I can't wait to see how he does in that job. But they had reached a point after four seasons playing for Vic defensively where they really trusted him as a game manager and as a game planner. And I would add two other people to your list, Mark, and one is Akeem Hicks.
Yeah.
You know, Vic did such a good job of pushing Akeem's buttons and finding ways to motivate him. And you would see it come out in plays like the goal line stand with an exhausted defense and overtime in Miami where Akeem forced that fumble at the goal line. You know, Vic really found a way to reach Akeem and bring his play to a higher level. The other player is Prince Amukamara, who really came to trust Vic as a play caller, and I think that's really important for the secondary and guys who have to just cover on an island and play press in what has become, you know, a passing league where the rules are stacked against them. And we're talking about their top players, you know, that really gravitated to Vic, that connected with Vic. And so with Pagano coming, I think his demeanor, his temperament and personality as a nice, energetic guy, a guy players relate to, that helps him. But I think Pagano is helped mostly by the fact that this is really a self-motivated group defensively. The buy-in across the entire team is excellent, but they really have good leaders, and it starts with Khalil Mack. I mean, Mack to be their best player and their hardest-working practice player, and the list behind him is very long in that regard. Guys want to win. They want to be successful collectively, and it's not about individuals. I really came to appreciate that last year about this group, how that sense of team elevated them, and I think Pagano inheriting that is really going to benefit because these guys are going to work through some of the transition speed bumps better because of that.
How are you going to go? I don't want you to give any trade secrets, Rich, but how are you going to go about finding out how that communication is affected with a scheme change? Well, not a scheme change, but a change in terminology. What's the best way to find out if they're actually hitting a block or two?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, there is no secret to this, and we're going to have to watch it play out. And even more unfortunately, it's probably going to be until the regular season because you understand that they really aren't going to show much. You know, they're going to use the unknown to their advantage through the preseason and into the regular season. So we'll have to keep an eye in practice about, let's say, blown coverages. You know, when they are running their stuff in practice, because they're not going to do it in the games, but when they're running their stuff in practice, are there receivers that are running wide open because there's been a miscommunication in the secondary? We'll keep an eye on that, but I really think it's going to come out in the game. And one of the things, as I said, about Vic that was so good, I mean, by and large, he was a really, really, really good play caller. You could point out instances where the defensive play calling broke down, as you could with every team, but generally he had the trust of his players. Pagano, it's been a very long time, I think, since he's called defenses. So let's see how he does and whether he can get that trust from his group. And then, you know, I think Mark would agree, all we heard from these guys throughout the spring, a lot of cliches, you know, a lot of coach speak about how the transition was smooth and everything. I want to see it to believe it. I think we should all expect maybe a little bit of a bumpier road through September than people would like. But I think ultimately by midseason, the group will be humming and they'll be very good again.
Yeah, Rich, I agree with that. Another area where I would use that exact same terminology, see it to believe it, is Mitchell Trubisky and the offensive side of the ball. And a lot of things have been thrown out there about Trubisky from his teammates about the massive jump that they've already seen him make in the off-season workouts and the mini camp and everything like that. What do you realistically expect from Trubisky? And this is his third year, really, you know, second year under Matt Nagy. What should be the bar for Trubisky this year?
Well, he's got to lower the interceptions. He's got to protect the ball, and he's got to sustain drives. And there was just too much inconsistency, I felt like, in that regard last year. And you can break down each of his interceptions and pass credit or blame around if you want. But what really, to me, you have to see eliminated are some of the ones where his mechanics really got away from him, and he would sail throws over open receivers to a defender just waiting underneath the ball. I'm thinking of the Bills game when he overthrew Trey Burton and the Rams game where he threw a couple picks in that game. The interceptions have to come down first and foremost. He's got to protect the ball, because if he does protect the ball, okay, that means they're using this retooled skill position group. And last year it was the receivers, the pass catchers, and this year it's the running backs. And if Trubisky's protecting the ball, now Matt Nagy's got all of these options and weapons to use. New ones, including David Montgomery out of the backfield, Mike Davis behind him, Cordero Patterson in a specialized role, Tariq Cohen a little bit more, slotted a little bit more suited to what he does best, which is probably play from out of the backfield, maybe line up wide a little bit, and take advantage of mismatches. They can afford to do that a little bit more. And I think because of everything they've built around Mitch, now it's on the quarterback. Third season, second one with Nagy. Let's see if he is anticipating open receivers at training camp. Remember last year at training camp where we went 10 practices in a row to start camp, Trubisky had at least one pick. Mm-hmm. That cannot happen this year. He's got to be way ahead of that as we get into August. And at that point, we can reassess and try to get a little bit of a more concrete feel about how sharp he is, how well he's seeing things, and how quickly he's making decisions.
Talking Bears with Rich Campbell, the Chicago Tribune, but you don't want to miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the Wildcats host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. What, Rich, are they doing with the tight end position? What is the, I guess maybe a better way to put it is, in their best case scenario, how does everything play out?
All right, the best case scenario would be Trey Burton shows up to camp with a fully functional groin muscle, and he is 100% healthy. He can run every route. He's got no restrictions. And he's the U tight end who takes a real step forward, having gone through a season with Mitch and developed chemistry in this offense. And then at the Y position, the best case scenario would be Adam Shaheen becomes the blocker that they've been trying to groom him to be, and they thought he was becoming last summer before he got hurt in that Denver preseason game. And you include him in some red zone packages and let him use his body to diversify what you've got down there. Okay, those two guys would be the best case scenario. But depth is definitely a question there. And not only the depth behind those two guys, but on the top line of the depth chart, as I said, Burton's coming off the sports hernia surgery. Adam Shaheen missed too much of last season to really have a sense of where his development is. And he's a second-round draft pick. That's a guy that has to be a really good player for you. And I think the jury is out on him completely. Let's see if he can stay healthy, be a little bit more nimble, stay on his feet, you know, use his balance a little bit better. Because then they could use his size and straight line running ability to help a little bit in the passing game. Behind that, I think you have real question marks, and that'll be one of the areas we're watching closely at camp.
How important, too, is the some of the other guys, the other receivers on the team? Allen Robinson in his second year. You mentioned Trey Burton. It'll be his second year in this offense. Anthony Miller, his second year in this offense, and in the NFL for that matter. Taylor Gabriel, his second year with Matt Nagy in this Bears offense. Because, of course, we're going to talk about Mitch Trubisky, and he's going to hog most of the attention. But I think it's on those guys to also take the next step in this offense and to become more open and make it easier for Trubisky as well.
Yeah, let's zero in on Allen Robinson, okay? Because go back to this time a year ago, and Robinson is less than a year removed from ACL reconstruction, and then he missed, you know, a lot of offseason because he's rehabbing the knee. He missed that introductory offseason to the offense. I think, all things considered, he had a pretty productive and promising first season with the Bears, but it should only get better because he's passed both of those obstacles. You know, he was healthy all offseason, so now he's further distanced from the knee reconstruction, and he's had all this time this offseason to be in every rep and practicing with Mitch. So I think as we contemplate what the offense is going to be through the air, as you go past Mitch and think about his options, Robinson has to be the guy who we remember from free agency two offseasons ago as the top of the market receiver that the Bears, you know, either wanted Sammy Watkins or Allen Robinson, and they went out and got Robinson. And so let's see him be that 1,300-yard guy. If he is, they're going to have a great offense. And Robinson was really confident at the end of the offseason program about how good his leg felt, you know, compared to last year. So that's really promising. I look to him first and foremost to establish himself as a go-to guy. Maybe you know, you could probably fall into a trap of putting too much emphasis on how he produced in the Eagles playoff game, but you know, maybe that is something that they can build on together, how Robinson played there. And then Anthony Miller had out of the most receiving touchdowns on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, for the Bears' sake, that he's healthy. You know, that shoulder allows him to be more fluid with his movements now that he's had labrum surgery and can get back into camp on time as expected. And then keep going, right? I mean, what can Tariq Cohen do now that they have in the backfield, David Montgomery and Mike Davis. I think they're going to use Cohen as a receiver a lot more than they did a year ago. And then Cordarrelle Patterson is a straight line runner who they can dial up screens for and have him be part of the running game. Riley Ridley and Javon Wims, those guys will compete. So I think if you're the Bears, while you don't have that Julio Jones, you know, Davante Adams type number one receiver, there's a lot of talent there still, and it'll be up to Nagy to figure out, you know, how to get the ball around to everybody and for Mitch to continue developing chemistry with those guys.
So, Rich, it's the All-Star break, and in the baseball world, we're just kind of like wallowing around waiting for teams to start. Obviously, you're looking to see whether the Orioles trade Trey Mancini or something like that and get a piece back for him. But
trade everyone.
Trade everybody.
They can quit the rest of the season if they can trade everybody.
They really ought to. Although I do like what the front office has been doing. Still, though, because it's the All-Star break, our buddy Lawrence Holmes has been having a debate pretty much all week long. Is Mitchell Trubisky good? I wonder if you could chime in for Lawrence for us.
Yeah, I think that he needs to prove that he's good enough to validate being the second overall pick. You know, good enough to validate what the team believed when they drafted him. I don't think he has yet. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing or the fact that, you know, he's late and people should be panicked about it, but now it's time. Now it's time to see. I mean, you could write off the first year if you really want to, you know, under Fox because the cupboard was so bare. Last year, the retooling and the learning continued. Now it's time. If we're having this debate at the end of the 2019 season, that's a real problem. That's a real problem. So I'm, you know, unfortunately, probably a cop-out answer. I'm going to say wait and see.
It's hard, man. It's hard to answer that question until seeing this year when he's expected to take the big step up.
Well, because I don't want to say he's not good,
right?
Because I don't feel like there has been enough, you know, behind him yet. Now he's positioned to prove that he is good, and until now, whether it was the scheme, whether it was the personnel around him, whether it was his own level of rawness coming from North Carolina, judging him one way or the other, probably premature. You know, it's unfair to him to say, no, he's not good. But so now it's time. You know, we need to get to the end of 2019 and be able to say, this is their eraser. This is their guy who makes everyone else better. Now that they've added these receivers and running backs, no, Mitch, it's not them lifting up Mitch. Mitch has to lift them up. And I'm not sure he can do it. He was too inconsistent last year. So let's see. You know, we'll get an idea as we go through camp here, and the games will tell us a lot more, obviously.
For me, it comes down to accuracy and whether it was a result of not understanding the system or trusting it or something like that.
You talking about last year?
Yeah, last season. You know, you miss Miller down the seam route six or seven times in four looks, it felt like, and that's it's impossible to do because it looked impossible to miss him. And I guess if that is adjustable through understanding of the offense, then I feel a lot better about things. If accuracy is this unteachable, lift you out of the crib kind of thing, you worry.
Yeah, that's it. And especially because when they drafted him, that was the trait they touted the most, his accuracy, his natural accuracy. And truly, we have not seen that to the level at which it was advertised with him coming out of North Carolina. But I'm also with you, Connor, that if you're giving Mitch the benefit of the doubt, which, hey, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be here. They've put all this around him. So, okay, we see his athleticism. We see the great moments he's had. We saw the 6-touchdown Buccaneers game. There are a lot of reasons to believe that he'll get it. But that goes back to my original point is let's see him eliminate those interceptions where his mechanics just completely escape him and he drops his arm slot or he's off balance and he's overthrowing guys by 5 or 10 yards. That has to stop. I mean, he's got to be more accurate. I'm with you. Because it's the trait they advertised, you know, that and his athleticism, that has to shine. And I think, you know, as you said, based on what the Bears are building, what their thinking is, and, you know, their mission, I guess, this season, yeah, once he's more comfortable, then his natural ability will shine. And it better. It better. I think the season depends on it, and I think if it does fall the right way, the Bears could beat anyone. You know, their defense is that good, and they've got enough talented players offensively.
Rich, draft class of 2019, we know that David Montgomery has to make some sort of impact on this team this year. Do you expect any of the other guys, Riley Ridley, Duke Shelley, Kareth White Jr., Steven Denmark, to make real impact on the 2019-20 Chicago Bears?
The guy that stands out to me from that group is Duke Shelley, because the organization thought he had a great spring. They were really impressed by him, and it's a little bit ironic because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe he was invited to the NFL scouting combine. He was a bit of an afterthought nationally in the draft class, but he played outside mm-hmm. at Kansas State, and then the Bears have him playing inside. Yep. But think about their cornerback depth chart. There's not a lot of depth. I mean, Kevin Tolliver is their third corner outside. I mean, if Prince Amukamara, who's had hamstring issues in the past, or Kyle Fuller, whose injury issues in the past are well documented, if either of those guys go down, Kevin Tolliver's up. And that's a player with not much experience. I mean, they get thin there really quickly. And so I wonder if Duke Shelley can continue to impress coaches playing against second and third stringers in camp to the point where he earns a spot on the 53 and he becomes a player that if they have to turn to in the case of an injury, that maybe he can step up and play for them. Not necessarily inside, but outside because he's done it in the past.
Rich, I'm going to let you go and let you get back to the bliss of non-training camp life, but we're going to start a game today, and we're going to play it all through the preseason with your hits here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. No, yeah, we're not going to hold you to this. I just want to see how it changes over okay. the next 12 weeks or so. The name of the man who hits the first regular season field goal for the Bears is what?
I will say is... not on the team. and other than that, I'm picking from you know the rest of the field. I guess you want me to give you a name from the field.
I get that your pick is not on the team, but give me a name of a man.
All right. I'm going to give you a name of a man. I'm going to say Kari Vedvik, who's currently under contract with the Ravens. He's their backup there. Justin Tucker is their guy. The Ravens have said we're trying to trade Vedvik through camp. I would imagine the Bears have talked to them about him. I don't know that for certain, but if they're doing their due diligence, they've at least checked the price tag on that, and we'll see how that evolves.
All right, we're going to play this game. It's a lovely name. We're going to play this game, and we're going to see after that first field goal goes up and hopefully through the uprights if Rich Campbell had a name on the list. Thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, my pleasure, guys. Have a great one.
See you, man. Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune. Kari Vedvik.
I am so glad.
It's a lovely name.
That I have not been asked to be a participant in this Rich Campbell game of kickers.
I think it's going to be good. We're going to get a lot of different names. We're getting a lot of cop outs. And again, that's not an indictment of Rich Campbell's reporting prowess.
Oh,
the man knows his thing. Just this is where they're at. And I thought instead of playing this stupid, like, who's going to kick for the, like, to do this whole conversation, right. Just give me a name. And we'll figure it out as we go. I think that's the best way to do it.
You know, that's part of why this storyline is so annoying for reporters, and I include myself in that group, is because we're forced to learn about evaluating kickers. I don't know how to evaluate.
I don't want to learn this.
I don't want to.
I don't care.
Neither does Matt Nagy. Neither does Ryan Pace. They're all like, I don't know how to do this. Bring in a consultant. All right, yeah, you know what? Bring in 10 guys. That's totally cool. Line them up. Let them all kick, because I don't want to do this. It's hard. So we have to learn names. We have to learn evaluating. And we have to pretend like we know what we're talking about.
It's just such a... You guys are screwed.
Yeah, I know.
Segment brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. They're off and running this weekend. A beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Join them Saturday for Arlington's annual food truck festival with over 20 food trucks. And Sunday for Chicago Bears Day with autograph signings and Bears entertainment. Visit arlingtonpark.com for tickets. Jim Boylan, head coach of the Chicago Bulls, was on NBA TV and said stuff that I don't know, man. You'll hear it coming back. I don't know. It's Mark Grody in for Dan. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
What we are is we're a young, developing team. We had an interesting summer. We have Dunn, Levine, Porter, Markkanen, and Carter. We kind of have our first five set. And so what we wanted to do is add quality draft picks, which we did, two great kids and I think going to be real good pros. And then we wanted to build depth behind those first five guys, and that's what we've done. Veteran depth. You know, you've probably heard me talk about, you know, having a good soul, having a good spirit. That's important to us, and playing for each other. And we got Thaddeus Young, and we got Thomas Satoransky.
Other guys who show up to camp and play for us with heart and soul and something written across the chest. We promise that. That's Jim Boylan, head coach of the Chicago Bulls. I'm Connor McKnight. He's Mark Grody in for Dan Bernstein today. It is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Midday Midway coming up in just a few. We're going to talk a little Cubs with Len Casper at 11. I know, Mark, you are loaded for many different things in the Midday Midway. Should be a fun one. Looking forward to that. But there it is. There it is. You've got your starters for the Bulls, and Chris Dunn's name is mentioned, I guess. It's in there.
Yeah.
Part of it.
I guess as long as he remains on the roster, you do have to mention that he is there. But I hope that Jim Boylan knows that he probably will not be the Bulls.
Well, if he doesn't, Doug Collins will probably tell him.
Yeah. Somebody somewhere along the way that would have to happen. You know, it was a very eventful hour today on the Mully and Haw show with Tom Thayer. It was the power hour this morning because they had on Jed Hoyer, the GM of the Chicago Cubs, and then the Bulls boss, president of basketball operations, John Paxson.
Yeah, and in it, there was a conversation about the playoffs. Mully asked him if this is expectations. And, of course, the answer was, I don't know, 9 minutes long. It was just kind of one of those, I don't know. And you just, you know, around the league. We've right. got
our success or lack thereof is going to be determined by the growth of these young guys that we have. And, you know, in particular, guys like Lowry and Wendell and Zach. Otto is still a 26, 27-year-old player that we didn't get to see much of last year. But when we did, we thought he did some really good things for us. And so again, it's a tough business where you want the superstars. You want to do what the Clippers are doing and the Lakers are doing, but we're realistic right now. We're not in that position. We hope that in a couple years, with the development of these young guys, players around the league view us as a destination port where they can win at the highest level. And I believe we'll be there if our young guys perform the way we hope they will.
We want Giannis in 2021. You know, we'd very much like to create the cap space for Giannis, and that's what we're doing. That's how these contracts have been structured. And we talked with Joe Cowley earlier in the week and found out that some of the money given to Satoransky and to Thaddeus Young in their third year of the contract is not all of it's guaranteed. There's some flexibility there, which should create for a max slot in 2021 when Giannis is available. And that is what it is. It's just I think Bulls fans have expected this rebuild to go faster. And I think it's fair for them to think that if it is just a little bit unlikely, because it's not the first time they've been here. You know, they think after two, you ought to be better at the third one. Yeah, make this a little bit faster. But I don't know that it's going to work that way. And I do think, given the marketplace of NBA free agency, given the way this league works, that probably putting off or at least arranging for the offseason of 2021 is the prudent thing to do.
Yeah, and you know, the words that I jotted down from that interview when he was asked what is the goal playoffs, he said, "That's great if we can," with the translation for which is, "Yeah, what the hell?" I hadn't thought about that. But yeah,
it's the East.
Yeah, you know,
who
I mean,
knows
playoffs? Yeah, what the hell? I like the way you talk. That's a good question, Mully. But I think that I'm actually going to give Paxson credit for this, that he is not saying, okay, now that we have added Thaddeus Young and Thomas Satoransky, and we've got this core of improving potential stars and yep. Markkanen and LaVine, that yep, we're a playoff team now. He is being actually honest with the fan base and with the media and saying, if you read between the lines, no, he's like saying this year is still about player development, and he used the phraseology being competitive this year, which doesn't necessarily mean winning games. It means not losing them by 30. It means losing them by 10 and looking like you have a chance to win games at the end. So I'm going to give Pax a little bit of credit on that. And the Bulls organization as a whole for not going – like with the Russell Westbrook stuff, or trying to add players that would get them into sort of that play, like a temporary place, which could be okay.
Yeah.
Like when they did the addition of Dwayne Wade,
Jabari Parker.
Those were moves where they thought, okay, we can get ourselves into the playoffs this year. Who knows? Do some damage. This year, they're not saying anything like that.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see another approach this offseason. Instead of adding Thad Young and Thomas Satoransky, maybe there's a bad contract you're able to take back for draft picks. Maybe there's a soft reload during this kind of semi-competitive window in the rebuild. I mean, there's so many qualifiers you've got to put on this team before you get to actually talking about
that.
Hoops.
That's the joy of a Garpax regime, is like what he said. And if you looked at this team in a vacuum with who they have and assets they have moving forward, you would say, okay, bringing in guys like Young and Satoransky to try and stabilize things around the guys that need to develop, cool, that makes sense. And what Pax said today about, you know, we're not going to immediately push in and we're going for 2021, essentially saying that, sure, that's great, that makes sense. But when you put any context of what this regime has been, is where it all goes downhill so fast, because no matter what the plan is, if it was, even if they were able to go get the star right now, then everybody would be saying, as they should, can they build a team around him? It just all comes back to how many people in this city truly trust this management group to execute any plan, no matter what that plan is.
Well, and he said, and I guess this is correct, that it has to be correct for this team, that he said our success is going to be defined by, I don't know if he used the word core, but the guys that are here. And he started with Markkanen.
Yeah.
He said Markkanen first and then Levine second. So, you know, who knows about Wendell Carter Jr.? But the question is, I guess, for both of you guys is, like, which one of those two guys, Markkanen or Levine, makes the biggest jump or eventually becomes that guy, like a star? I don't know, superstar, but a star, a guy that you win because of.
It's got to be Markkanen. I mean, it needs to be. Given the way they've structured the team, it kind of needs to be. I guess with Levine, I just see more limitations to his game. Granted, I think he's watching him play the point or run the de facto point last season was much more interesting to me than I thought it would be. It seemed like that's actually kind of an interesting option. I don't need him to do it all the time. I don't want more Zach LaVine running the de facto point, but it did kind of work. That's more versatility than I thought he might have, but it's got to be Markkanen who takes the next and biggest step.
Yeah, LaVine's closer to being the hardened form of what he's going to be as a player, if nothing else, because he's been in the league longer,
sure,
even though he is still young. Markkanen does have a ton of room to improve. I know it's only been 1 year. I'm not necessarily saying he's going to be a star, but I still think Wendell Carter can be a high, high role player, like a real good role player.
If he can scratch the Al Horford ceiling, that'd be great.
Yeah, like he showed flashes of it last year, and the thing is, when he had some consistency before the Jim Boylan firing and then before he got hurt, I thought he was looking pretty good. Still fouling too much, but offensively he was taking some jumpers, still hesitant on the three. And he was working pretty well out of that short roll where he would set the pick and then roll to about the free throw line, get the ball, and then decide if he should shoot or pass out to a wing. He was doing pretty good at that. And obviously he has the verticality defensively to, you know, protect the rim. He's just got to cut down on some of the fouls. I still think he can be a real damn good player.
I do think it's very possible that there's been a little bit too much excitement around Daniel Gafford.
You think?
he is a guy you talk about now, though, right? You talk about him in the summer league and look at the hustle and what.
Slam dunker. Yeah, no, he's that guy.
And then when the real season comes, my guess is that you're probably not going to see a whole lot of Gafford in real game situations.
No, but he'll probably be around, and Chris Dunn probably won't, if Jim's still figuring that out. Okay. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. I got a lot for the Midday Midway. We will check in on the Humboldt Park Gator, of course. We got something from the Blackhawks that's actually very interesting, I thought, one of the classic stupid criminal stories.
I have, oh man, I can't wait for everybody to hear the audio of Angry Short Guy in New York Bagel Shop. That is my headline for it. I have Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo in the news, and maybe if we have time, a quick thing on John Wick 3, which I saw yesterday.
Midday Midway's on the way. That movie came out weeks ago.
I know, but I got there yesterday.
Love you, Grody. He's in for Dan. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Spent a lot of time talking Cubs at the top of the show. Jed Hoyer, Cubs general manager, was on with Mully and Haw. Tom Thayer in for Haw as he travels the globe. Jed said a number of things about where his team is at, including needing more than just four guys clicking in this offense to get them moving in the right direction. Was very pleased with the way Joe Maddon has kind of risen to the challenge of being more active and involved in not just the managing but the coaching of this team. And really it is... it is up to the squad, it sounds like, to prove to the front office and the front office to prove to the squad that they can make moves outside the organization to enrich what they've got and make sure that they hold on to a division that seems holdable. It's that NL Central just isn't a big deal, at least not the deal we thought it would be. And the Cubs have a chance to win it. We talked football with Rich Campbell. Always good to check in with him. Oh, and he gave you a name, by the way. We're going to play a game with Rich all camp long.
Yeah,
we're going to ask him the name of the man who makes the first field goal for the Chicago Bears this year. And he said Kari Vedvik. He's a backup on the Ravens right now. He expects him to be traded. And right now, July 11th, Kari Vedvik. Segment brought to you by Door Systems. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR. I want to check in on the Humboldt Park Gator. Gator Bob is still searching for this reptile. We shall see exactly how he traps him, but we did find this out. I was following Mina Bloom of Block Club Chicago on Twitter. They are a hyper-local news organization. You should subscribe to them. They're fantastic. They've been covering this thing. He laid out five traps, did Alligator Bob, baited them with chicken wings. Still no bites, from the Humboldt Park alligator, but he is out there. And Alligator Bob is taking photos with fans if you're traveling around the area.
That's great. And time is running out, too, because if the gator is still there when it's cold, we'll have a frozen alligator. Because they are not meant to be in this climate.
Not good.
Right. Okay, here we go. Here it is. A Long Island Bagel Shop customer was caught on camera lashing out at other patrons in a bizarre tirade about women rejecting him because of his short stature. Tape, please.
You're a great woman. Why is that okay?
You're great. Why is it okay for women to say, oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead. That's okay?
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites. You think I'm making that up? Yeah. Everywhere I go, I get the same smirk with the biting lip. Shut your mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss. Dude, you want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh? I'm not standing.
Al, enough.
You shut up, dude.
You shut the f*** up.
Go ahead and attack me, Jake.
Oh, my God. Bagels.
You have to see the video. The funniest part is right at the very end. What happened right there where the girl is going, oh, my God. What happened was this guy is legitimately 5 feet tall.
Okay.
A huge man comes and just tackles the little guy. He just brings him down after he's picking fights with everybody. He tackles him. It was great. And it totally reminded me of like Joe Pesci, like, you know, sizing guy. You only exist because of me. And it was just...
Get this through your head. You only exist out here because of me. That's the only reason. Without me, you, personally, every wise guy still around, I'll take a piece of your ass.
Everywhere I go, I get the same smirk with the biting lip.
You're not God or my father.
Please, please.
You think I'm making that up?
Watch the video.
You want to go? You want to fight me?
That's okay.
A little more audio. This of the super cool variety on the Hawk Talk podcast. Pat Boyle, Charlie Romeliotis do it for NBC Sports Chicago. It's talking Blackhawks, and they had Robin Leonard on, the new Blackhawks goaltender. And it's just I'll let Pat set it up. This is from their podcast. They asked a question about the issues surrounding Robin, and the answer I surprised the hell out of me.
Did you discuss with the Blackhawks their medical staff and the support systems that they have in place to help you going forward?
No, not really. I thought it was incredibly refreshing. To be honest, they said we have everything in place that you would want. You just got to talk to us about it. But they were one of the only teams that weren't holding on to what I've been transparent about. They were interested in me as a hockey goalie, and they heard about me as a person, and that was incredibly refreshing and just made my decision a lot easier.
That's pretty incredible that they sit down in a meeting with a guy who's, obviously he's got some mental health issues, some addiction issues, and they just kind of said, no, we got it. We're going to help you as much as we can. We take care of your stuff. We'll take care of you.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
No, I think it is too. And I mean, I've made it pretty transparent that I've dealt with some of that stuff too. The only thing is that I hope that they... that they've done their due diligence and their complete homework, and that they have talked to him about a little bit, because this is an asset of theirs and they have to be ready for anything. But it sounds like, to their credit, like you said, Connor, they are ready for it and they are equipped. So it is very heartening to hear that. Yes. All right. So I don't know if people know this or not, but their bidding is open for the mitts, the gloves of Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo, the ones that they used during the final out of the Cubs 2016 World Series Championship. And the auction house is selling them. They think that they're going to go for $750,000 or more. So here's what when I first heard this story, I was like, what? Are you kidding me? How come Rizzo and Bryant aren't keeping these gloves for themselves?
Yeah.
It's like it's going to some unknown person. It says normally these gloves would remain with the Cubs, but both of these players had a contract with Fanatics, and that's a company, and they were required to give up their gloves after the World Series.
No kidding.
I think just this sucks. Like, I understand they sold their souls, but I think it's horrible that they might lose these mitts. So here's what I'm asking for, Connor.
Yeah.
This is going to be a way to get some of these Cubs celebrity guys in good light with people who don't like them. Bill Murray, Jim Belushi, John Cusack, my guy Eddie Vedder. I want one of those guys to take some of their gold,
snap it up,
snap up those gloves, and give those gloves back to Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, or the Chicago Cubs. So, guys, do your duty with all your money. Thank you.
You don't just have Vedder's number? You just can't just let him know?
I didn't say I didn't. I just don't think it's my job.
This is from Oklahoma. Guthrie, Oklahoma. Two people were arrested after a traffic stop of a stolen car revealed that the two had a rattlesnake, radioactive uranium, and an open bottle of Kentucky Deluxe Whiskey. Stephen Jennings is charged with possession of a stolen vehicle, transporting an open container of liquor, operating a vehicle with suspended license, and failure to carry security verification form. Rachel Rivera is charged with possession of a firearm after a former felony conviction. Did you hear me say uranium in any of those charges?
No.
How the hell are they not charged for having the enriched uranium?
Yeah, that could do damage.
What in the hell? Traffic stop was 11 a.m. in the Guthrie neighborhood, because that's when you drop off your radioactive uranium. You don't want to do that at night. You can see it.
Right.
About the same time, Jennings told officers he had a gun in the console, so at least he was off. So now, here's the quote from the police sergeant. So now he's got a rattlesnake, a stolen vehicle, a firearm, and somebody under arrest. It's absolutely ridiculous. Uranium hasn't resulted in charges. Guthrie police are still trying to figure out exactly what the suspects were going to use it for. There are no charges from the rattlesnake either. It is possible that they were going to use the uranium, you know, radioactivity, on the rattlesnake to do some sort of, like, Spider-Man thing.
You know,
and then you get the rattlesnake.
You hit it
with the uranium. You get the rattlesnake to bite you, and then you become...
Now I think it's cool.
Rattlesnake person or something? Absolutely preposterous.
Yeah, I think that, and perhaps it was just so unprecedented. We don't have the protocol for this scenario under which we have here right now. So that's it. That's that.
That is the Midday Midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Talked a lot of Cubs to start the show. They're a big part of the news. We'll talk with Len Casper about what he expects from this first place NL Central team when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.